Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
In the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, God shows that love of neighbor begins in the home. Love of neighbor begins with the family. It makes sense. If you can't love your immediate neighbors, if you can't love those you live with, those whom you're closest to, those who you see when you wake up in the morning, how can you be expected to love other neighbors? How can you love neighbors outside your immediate circle of relationships? Well, God's desire, God's design, God's plan is that you learn to love at home. You learn to love your neighbor within your family, and loving our neighbor, learning to love our neighbor, ordinarily begins with the first primary relationships in life, a child and a mother and father. Loving your neighbor starts with this: honor your father and your mother. Now, the Hebrew word for honor, we looked at this last week. The Hebrew word for honor literally means heavy or weighty. Not heavy or weighty as on a scale, but heavy or weighty due to someone's position. Honor means to give due weight to someone's position. Honor means to hold in high regard someone due to the heaviness of their position. Honor means to esteem, to value, to prize, to respect. Therefore, to honor parents is to hold them in high regard. To honor parents is to give them due weight to their position. In fact, the same Hebrew word for honor is used in the Old Testament over and over again for God's glory. God's glory is the weightiness of his divine majesty. It is the heaviness of his authority and power. Therefore, children are to treat their parents in a way that is comparable to how we treat God. In other words, just as we are to give glory to God because of who he is, because of the weightiness of who he is, we are to honor parents because of who they are. We are to honor parents as a recognition of the weightiness of their God-given position and authority. Now, honor has to do with attitude and act, feeling and deed. And it is a command that lasts as long as one's parents are alive. Well, that's one side of the command, the duty of the child, and the other side is the duty of parents. Parents have a duty to be worthy of the honor they are to receive. If God commands children to honor their parents, then mothers and fathers must strive to be worthy of this honor. In other words, parents have a duty to be worthy of the weighty position God has given. God has given parents the blessing of being a mother and father, the blessing of raising a child. And in doing so, parents are to mirror the love of the Heavenly Father. Parents are to reflect upon their children the love that they have received and experienced from God, a steadfast love, a faithful love, a sacrificial love, a selfless love. The love of Jesus. Therefore, children will honor such parents as well as learn to love from them. Now, this is what is supposed to happen. This is what God desires to happen. But as you know, it doesn't always happen. And even when it seems to happen, it is far from perfect. The reason is sin. Our struggle with sin. As children of any age, we struggle to give honor. We struggle to esteem. We struggle to respect because we would rather receive honor. We would rather be esteemed. We would rather be respected. And sinful, broken parents make it easier to be this way. As parents, we struggle to love as the Father loves, struggle to be selfless, struggle to be sacrificial, struggle to teach love, struggle to be like Jesus. In fact, we fail. And it is our sinfulness that causes broken homes, our sinfulness that causes broken families, broken children. Therefore, it is vital that the love taught in the home, the love taught within the family, the love modeled by parents, the love learned by children is one where wrongs are confessed. Sin confessed. And like Jesus, it's a love that forgives. Well, down through the centuries, the fifth commandment has been understood to have a broader application, one that goes beyond the relationship of child and parents. And this broader application is this. The fifth commandment requires us to honor those whom God has given authority. Anyone. Not just parents. If God desires us to honor our parents whom he has placed in authority over us, then he also desires us to honor anyone who has legitimate authority over us. So not only do we learn to love through parents, but we learn to respect authority given by God. Now, examples of this can be found in the scriptures. Here's just a few. In 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 24, David refers to King Saul as my father. My father. In 2 Kings chapter 2, the prophet Elisha calls the prophet Elijah my father. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen refers to the elders of Israel as fathers. Now, the simple use of the title father shows that these offices, king, prophet, elder, were to be honored just like a mother and father. These offices were God-given positions of authority, and like a parent, were to be esteemed, were to be respected, valued. And we should do the same. We should do the same. In our New Testament reading from Romans, Paul writes this in verse 7, that we are to give honor to whom honor is owed. We are to honor those in our family who are not our parents and to have authority over us. Grandparents, aunts, uncles. We are to honor those at our place of work who have authority over us. Bosses, management, administration. We are to honor those at school who have authority over us. Teachers. Professors, principals. We are to honor those in our church who have authority over us. Elders, deacons. We are to honor those in our government who have authority over us. Elected and appointed, local and national. In fact, the Apostle Peter says, honor the emperor. And yes, this can be hard to do. In fact, it's almost countercultural today to do. And in fact, you may be thinking right now of those in your life or those whom you have come across who have authority over you that you don't want to honor or that you have a hard time respecting. And perhaps because you don't like them or you disagree with them or you question their motives, or they failed in their duties, or they've even wronged you. But God still calls you to honor their position for he has given it to them, allowed them to hold it. Now, the Westminster Larger Catechism has been used by Presbyterians for centuries to teach the faith. A catechism teaches Christian truths in a question and answer format. Now, question 127 is on the fifth commandment. And question 127 asks this: what kind of honor is owed to those over us? Now, the answer is longer. I'm only going to read part of the answer, and here's part of the answer. Those over us deserve respect in our hearts, our words, and our actions. We must also tolerate their imperfections and infirmities and cover them with our love. The Catechism teaches that the fifth commandment says, respect those over us in our hearts, with our words, through our deeds, but also that we are to tolerate, we are to bear their imperfections and infirmities. Cover them with our love. Now look, your mama might have a bad day. Your preacher might have a bad sermon. Your mayor may say something that rubs you the wrong way. Your teacher may snap at you. Patiently bear them. Cover them with love. God has placed them there. Now, a bad day is one thing. A crossword is one thing. A policy disagreement is one thing. But honoring someone's position of authority does not mean that you passively accept abuse or violence. Honoring someone's position of authority does not mean that you give them a pass for breaking the other commandments. Honoring someone's position of authority does not mean that you allow them to lead others or even you in breaking the other commandments. Now, just like parents, just like mothers and fathers, those who have been given authority from God, positions of authority from God, have a duty to be worthy of the honor that they are to receive. They must strive to be worthy of honor. In other words, those in authority have a duty to be worthy of the weighty position God has given them. Now this, all of this that we've been talking about is illustrated in the Bible through the friendship of David and Jonathan. Now, this friendship is found in the book of 1 Samuel, beginning in chapter 14, and continuing on. Now, Jonathan was a prince of Israel. Jonathan was the son of King Saul, the first king of Israel. David was a shepherd. He was anointed by God to be king after Saul because God was not pleased with the reign of King Saul. And Jonathan and David were the best of friends. They were both mighty warriors. They were both faithful to God, and they both had plenty of trouble from the king. King Saul was an angry, rash, insecure, and at times reckless king. He was not much better as a father. On one occasion, Saul made a vow that until he had revenge on his enemies, no soldier would eat a bite of food. Well, Jonathan did not hear this vow. And as Jonathan marched with the army, as he marched with Saul's army through a forest, he found some honey and he tasted it. And when Saul found out, the king was enraged and he said, "Jonathan, you shall surely die." Well, other soldiers intervened. Other soldiers explained to Saul what had happened, that Jonathan did not know of the vow. And so Jonathan's life was spared. But this episode served to show Saul's true character. David didn't fare much better. David, who was also a musician, was called upon to play the harp for the king, to play the harp to calm Saul's nerves, to soothe his soul. At first, Saul appreciated this service from David. However, after David defeated the great giant Goliath, Saul became jealous, jealous of David's fame, jealous of David's notoriety. And one day, as David played the harp for Saul, in a fit of rage, the king hurled a spear at him, intending to pin him against the wall, but David escaped. When our Old Testament reading today, Saul attempts to send Jonathan to kill David. Now, this was a difficult position for Jonathan to be in. He knew he must honor his father. He knew he must honor the king, but he knew that David had done no wrong. He knew that what his father had asked him to do amounted to murder. Jonathan knew murder was wrong, that it was against God's law. So Jonathan honored God by disobeying his father. He honored God by disobeying the king. Rather than kill David, he warned his friend what was going to happen so that he could escape. Well, Saul did not deserve the honor due a father. He didn't deserve the honor due a king, but David and Jonathan both honored him. They both honored Saul. Jonathan honored his father by trying to prevent him from sinning against David. Listen to verse 5 again for my reading from 1 Samuel. Jonathan says this to his father Saul, "Why then will you sin against innocent blood by killing David without cause?" After this confrontation, Saul repented and welcomed David back. Well, Jonathan also honored his father by serving him to the end. Jonathan fought side by side with his father in battle against the Philistines, the enemies of God's people, and he died by his father's side. Well, David honored King Saul, and David honored King Saul by not killing him. When David left Saul's presence for good, he went out into the wilderness, but Saul hunted him. Saul pursued him, and twice David had a chance to kill the king. Once, David was hiding in a cave. Saul came into that cave alone, and there in the darkness, David's men urged him to kill the king. But David refused. Listen to his words of refusal. This is from 1 Samuel 24, verse 6. David says, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing that he is the Lord's anointed." Even though he had been wronged time and time again by the king, even though the king was out trying to kill him, he respected the office. He honored the office. David understood that God anointed Saul as king. And in his own time, God would remove Saul as king. Well, King Saul is a good example of how not to exercise authority. Saul is a good example about the challenges of keeping the fifth commandment, but David and Jonathan both honored Saul. David and Jonathan kept the fifth commandment. But in doing so, they also had to disobey the king. They had to disobey him in order to honor God, to be faithful to God. And there were times when they had to protect themselves as well. Again, honoring does not mean submitting yourself to abuse or violence. David and Jonathan honored Saul because they understood that all authority comes from God. And the one who gives all authority is the one who has all authority. Our Father has all authority in heaven and on earth. And he has given it all to the Son. He has given it all to the crucified and resurrected one, to the one who died and rose for you. He has given it all to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's given it to Jesus. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. This is true, and it should be of immense comfort to you, and here's why. Anyone who has authority, anyone who holds a position of authority has been given it by Jesus. This means that the one who loves you, who entered creation for you, who died for you, who rose from the dead for you, who gives you forgiveness and life, he knows what's going on in your life, everything. He knows what's going on in your life with those who have authority over you. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in our city. He knows what's going on in our country. He knows what's going on in our world. He knows when the nations rage. He knows when power is abused. He knows the suffering it causes. But he also knows the future. Your future. Creation's future. He knows the Father's plan. And we're in his hands. You are in his hands. The hands of the one who promises to never leave nor forsake us. The hands of the one who designed us to honor our father and mother.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.